Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Take care, Moise. That's Moise visiting us and complaining about the Porsche Drive app.
Hoodie.
He's mad at them for charging him for the damage he incurred through no fault of his own driving, of course. It's something to do with the Drive app. They're the problem, not him.
Their fault. They gave me the cars wrecked. The brand new cars were pre-wrecked.
They tricked me. Every month he's doing $3,000 of damage, and they're only charging him $1,000.
That's a good deal.
It's a good deal. That's a great deal. Anyway, hello, everybody. We're here on Easter. It's Wednesday for you. I'm here with cast member Johnny Lieberman, bumped last week for Jerry Seinfeld. And Zuckerman, of course. Bumped. You know what was funny about that? So, you know, we've always considered you a member of our Spike's Car Radio family, Johnny Lieberman, and you didn't consider yourself that and made a big announcement that you're part of the show, and we were very pleased. But immediately, Seinfeld came last week and said, well, what? What's going on? Was I bumped for Lieberman? I said, what? He goes, I saw this, and Lieberman made this big announcement. Did I get bumped? And I'm like, no, you've been in New York for a year. You're here. Jerry and I drive out to Malibu, and then Matt Farah, hey, what with Lieberman? Did I get bumped for Lieberman?
He was crying.
He was upset.
All the Jews are running scared.
Everybody's upset. So I'm going to put everybody in the description. Good. I said to Matt, I go, you have a podcast, The Smoking Tire. If you want to be on mine as a guy, yes, I'll put you in the description. And Jerry, you're the world's biggest comedian. Do you really need to see your name in this dinky little podcast?
I mean, you told me that story. I've been tripping out on it for a week now that, like, Seinfeld was worried about me, which is great. I'm coming for him.
I was surprised and flattered, and I don't understand why. And I mean, they're all members of the SCR family here, right? As we add more people, I'm going to have to take the word Spike out of it so it can be more inclusive of the entire gang.
The amount of, like, positive feedback I got after that announcement was shock. Everyone's like, it's so great. Oh, my God.
It is great.
Good.
You bring a wealth of automotive knowledge. Zuckerman brings a wealth of male aggression and horribleness.
It's my specialty.
His specialty.
Particularly on Easter Sunday, Ferriston. Explain this Easter Sunday business to
you
us.
You want to go right into Easter,
I just want to understand it. Can you you're three quarters
well,
of
I'm
that.
I'm a lapsed Catholic. I'm not religious in any way. I remember Easter egg hunts. I'm not sure how that figures into everything.
But what happened to the Jesus guy?
I don't know. I know there was Good Friday, and you used to get the ashes on your forehead. Why? Not sure.
What about Ash Wednesday, then? What, is that different?
Oh, that's Good Friday. See? Look at that. You're right.
He's Ash, a bad Catholic.
Ash Wednesday.
That's lapsed, yeah.
Good Friday.
Has something to do with fish, right?
Leads into Easter. I don't know what Easter's about. I didn't pay attention. I didn't like
the Catholic religion.
What
about the three guys in your religion?
Who's that?
Okay. You got Easter.
The ghost? Holy Ghost? Jesus and God?
Jesus. Yes.
Yeah, I never understood that concept. They're the same.
Yes.
The Trinity.
Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What is that business?
Yeah.
You don't know.
No, see, there was a moment early on in my Sunday school training, because I had to go to Sunday school on Sundays in addition to my regular school, where they started talking about Noah's Ark. And I said, I have a couple questions.
Yeah,
two. They come in pairs, the questions.
How did you keep the polar bears from eating the lambs?
Let's go back a minute to this giant flood and big boat. How did that work? And I saw through the puppetry, the mythology, the fakeness of it. And the priest who was teaching us said, no, this shit's real. This shit's real, man. And I said, no, it's not.
They come in the back room.
That's right.
They come in the back room.
Yeah, we'll no, I, time for your orals.
This is how Catholic I was. My grandmother traveled with priests and nuns. So at Thanksgiving dinner or Easter dinner, she would come back from New Bedford, Massachusetts in the car with a priest and a nun.
Would those moochers come in and eat and drink would, on those your dime?
Moochers would come and sit and eat. And they were also intimidated by my Grandma Harney, because she kind of ran the church. She would critique all of the sermons and say, Father, you got this wrong. I think you should do it like this.
Oh, God.
So they were.
Oh, now I know how you get it.
Yes,
you're
exactly.
You're Grandma Harney.
I'm Maggie Harney's grandson.
We're going to remember next time he tells us how this works, we're going to say, okay, Spike Grandma Harney. Harney. Okay, Harney.
Maggie Harney. Maggie was Harney. Her name.
You're like then, a real Maggie Harney.
Listen, and I may have told you this before, Zuckerman, but when I was 17, my mom said, you know, we think you should be an extraordinary minister in the church. And I said, what do you mean?
Can I pause? I wish the audience could see Zuckerman's face. The look of disgust.
What about the look of disgust on my face? I thought I was Jimi Hendrix. I go, I'm going to Berklee College of Music. What is this?
Right.
You would just come home on Sundays to hand out the Eucharistic wafer. That little shit. Bread thing.
The Ritz cracker.
Yeah, the Ritz cracker, right. Which is, you know, if you're hungry, that gets you through the mass.
What about the slobbered in wine?
But she goes, I've set a meeting with you. I was so goddamn angry at this. I set a meeting with you and Father Higgins, or Father Goss, whoever it was. And I had to go into this guy's house and sit down with him. And he goes, we have plans for you in the church. And I said, well, let me stop you right there, Father. I'm out of here. He goes, what are you talking about? Your mother said you want to be an extraordinary minister. I go, no, I'm going to Boston. I'm going to music school. And I am done with your religion, not just the extraordinary minister piece. I am out of the whole thing. And I walked out. Just left.
Oh, this Pharisee, look at the path of evil you took. You could have been an extraordinary minister. You
I
could
am.
Have had the children
Do
in
you
the
know
back
what I
room.
Am, Zuckerman? I'm an extraordinary car minister now. Preaching to the people. Who love cars. That's what I do.
This was good. Now, if this had been on film, that would have been good to hand the finger up to preaching.
Well, I think your look of disgust would have been better. But I bet when he walks out, the priest was like, ah, too Jewy.
Yeah, exactly.
I quarter Jew. I
See,
knew it.
I knew it.
My Jewish relatives all lived in Taunton, Massachusetts. But, you know, it's a weird thing. We were kept away from them.
Or the Taunton people, Hebes, well, and know, the people in West Bridgewater.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's a Hebe part.
But this all has to do with my dad. And I don't even know why we're talking about this shit. But my dad's mom died when he was 5 years old. The father freaked out and just sent my dad to live with his Jewish relatives. So I think he did not like that. You know, imagine what happens to you when your mom dies and your dad goes, I can't deal with you, and just sends you away.
Okay, here's an Easter story. Tell us about Christmas with your dad known as Fats. This is my favorite story.
We've talked about this before, Zuckerman. We've spoken about it.
It never gets old for me. It never gets old.
We would wake up. And open our presents, and then while Mom cooked the Christmas turkey, Dad would say, I have a special outing for you guys. We're going to go to the Raynham dog track. My dad had a gambling problem, which I did not know. I thought, as a kid, you're like, this is the
dog
greatest
track.
Christmas ever. You can even bet. And we would go, we'd sit there, and he would just smoke the Winston lights, and we'd bet on the dogs. He would make the bets for us.
The only gambling allowed on Christmas.
Zuckerman, you have to understand what I did for fun when I was a kid. For fun, I went to Kmart. That was my fun. So to go to the dog track, this was Disneyland. These were the only things I did. Do you understand?
It makes you so lovable to me, Ferris Sid.
Wow.
This overcoming.
I was so happy at the dog track.
This broken upbringing. This going to the dog track.
This rabbit leaves the gate. This big fake rabbit. We love that. And then occasionally you would win money. You'd win like 18 bucks. And you'd be like, oh my God. My dad always returned very unhappy, but we never understood why until later on when we heard.
That was your college account.
Yeah, there's no vacation this year, kids. Yeah. Dad
gave it to the dogs.
He bet it on the dogs. Oh, yeah. He used to get into all sorts of trouble. All sorts of trouble. I remember him saying, I came home and he said, yeah, I need to borrow some money. And I go, from me? What's going on there? He goes, well, long story, but I bought a racehorse and the we thought it was going to win, but it got hurt. And now, you know, we're a little underwater in it. And, you know, and I'm just looking across the table going, this fucking guy is lying to me. It's really a pathetic thing to see your dad lie, like an incomprehensible demoralization to see this. And I go, what was the name of the horse? And he goes, what? What's the name of the horse, Dad? Oh, and he can't even think of the name right. There's no horse.
He lost it.
He lost it on scratch tickets.
Yeah.
He lost it something, you know. Eventually, he got out from under that, and it was fine, but it wasn't until I was about 35 years old that I went, oh, great. He goes, yeah, I had a wicked bad problem. Oh, really? Never knew.
And I like how he put it in the past tense. It never really went away, did it?
You know, it came back a little bit, but I was long gone.
And it was all forms of gambling? Just
it
whatever?
Was, I think it was mostly scratch tickets and, you know, bookie gambling. Him and Myron Bloom. Him and he had a Zuckerman, Myron Bloom.
Myron Bloom.
And him and Myron and this guy from Dunkin' Donuts would work half days and spend the other half of the day at the butcher shop gambling. Poker, calling the bookie, going to the dog track, just losing money, all of them, all three of them.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, you know.
This is a better Easter story. This really warm.
Happy Easter.
Okay, I suddenly like Easter Sunday. This was my idea of a great Easter story. Fuck Jesus. This is great. Myron Bloom.
Myron Bloom and the guys.
And the butcher and whoever else. All of the degenerates in a small town of West Bridgewater drinking coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, losing.
It was pretty exciting. To go to the butcher shop and watch them do that, I have to say, it didn't really...
That sounds like The Sopranos. I mean, that's kind
of... That's why I'm rewatching The Sopranos right now. I see a lot of
what
my...
What happened the whole seven seasons.
But when you're a little kid, it's all quite exciting.
Yeah.
All of it. Right. All of it was great.
Did you ever see your dad, like, cut someone's finger off?
No.
Okay. He was going to get his finger cut off.
Because that was on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
That was a big plot point.
No, he would make these insane, over-the-top threats, like if a neighbor walked onto his property... He would say, "I'm calling my lawyers," of which he did not have. If a dog barked, he would buy a BB gun and shoot at it rather than just go knock on the door and say, "Hey, could you? Would you mind bringing your dog in after 7? It's bothering us." He was out of his mind. But again, it all goes back to the mom dies at 5. The dad dumps them off.
Oh, the Jews.
The Jews.
The Jews tried. They did a good job with him, but... emotional damage.
This is a wonderful now. I'm suddenly happy, Ferriston. I was angry at you when you walked in and turned the lights on, but now when you tell me about your disgraceful upbringing, the sickness, the illness, the degeneracy, the gambling, the shooting dogs with pelicans. I'm so happy.
You made Paul's Easter.
You know, Fireball. I chatted with Fireball for a few minutes to promote the coloring book. I'll run that in a second. I want to talk about the RS6 Avant. Mm. But we're already a bunch of minutes in here. Yeah, 12 minutes in. Let's do real insurance stories from Zuckerman. Sponsored by Policy Genius. Zuckerman, what do you have for us?
Corpses equal Porsches.
You know, years ago, I knew this guy. We called him Cruddy. He really was. He looked just like Freedom Rock. And I think he was on methadone. He kind of talked slow. I can't say he was a client at all, but he because of the way I'm telling this story, but he had this 320i, and it got wrecked in an accident. And the insurance industry went out, the insurance adjuster went out to value this car, which had 320,000 miles on the 320i. And he said to me, "Hey, man, they're only offering $1,000 for the car because it was totaled." And I said, "Well, Dennis, the car has 320,000 miles on it." And he goes, "Oh, damn." And he calls me back about an hour later, and he says, "Can they go back out to revalue the car?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I turned the odometer back." And I said, "Dennis, you got to do that before they come and look at the car. They can't go back out after you've turned the clock back. You have to do that before the first time." And he was like, "Oh, damn, and rats." And he hung up the phone.
World's worst criminals.
Yes, wow. That's the story here. So remember, the moral of the story is turn your odometer back before the insurance adjuster comes to make a total valuation of the car. Turning it back after they've come doesn't do you any good.
You know what April means? Getting fooled, like turning back the odometer. Getting rained on and getting your taxes done. So if you need a positive experience to balance it all out, consider shopping for home and auto insurance with Policy Genius. Policy Genius can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have, but at a lower price. In fact, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year by reshopping their home and auto coverage. Getting started is easy. You just have to go to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find your lowest quotes. Remember, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year compared to their current home and auto policies. Head to Policy Genius to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Real insurance stories, sponsored by Policy Genius.
So, but my question is, like, that kind of thing, turning the odometer back, that's the first thing the insurance company would send a camera guy out to, like, catch him in the act, right? I mean, well, they know every trick.
Yeah, okay, that's where I went. When they're going to do an appraisal for the total loss value, they take a picture of the odometer. Now, this is so long ago. There was no such thing as Carfax out there where the insurance company and industry could look at the history of the car and see the history and see mileage. So people did turn. There was a whole cottage industry of turning back. There's even was a guy in the Valley, that this Israeli guy, who would turn back your digital odometer.
Right.
Reprogram. People did. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there was all sorts of...
I just feel like they're hip to everything, because I had one where I was in a Raptor, and it was raining, and I got on the brakes, and I, like, tapped the woman in front of me, and she gets out of the car, and we looked, and there was no damage. It was a tap, and I took pictures, and then the insurance guy months later calls me, and he goes, yeah, so tell me what happened. And I go, again? He goes, just tell me what happened. I go, okay, this, that, and the other. He goes, okay. I just want to let you know, we caught them because they told us the car was damaged, but we had your pictures. And so we caught them, we had our spy, with a baseball bat hitting the back of the Audi, her husband.
Yeah, you know? It happens. There were body shops that we call it Murderer's Row. I won't say where in L.A., but in the middle of the night, they'll take the car with a little bit of damage and then back it into the brick wall before the insurance adjuster goes out there, and then they try to do that kind
of
stuff.
Is that arrestable offense?
Believe
playing with your odometer?
You got to try really hard to get arrested in insurance fraud. You have to do it repeatedly and do it really, really bad to get arrested. And eventually some people do get arrested, but it's one of those crimes that should probably be prosecuted more than it is.
But I thought insurance aside, isn't messing with an odometer a state issue?
Yeah, but listen, the prisons...
Not enforced.
The prisons would be full of people
They are full of people, yeah. Zuckerman. I was reading the Don Winslow book, The Border and the Cartel. But that whole storyline about the immigrants coming across the border and going right into private prisons... Is that real? That was an amazing story.
Private prisons is a blight on our society. The whole prison system is a blight on our society. We could get into a really big thing here. I'm very anti-mass incarceration and privatization of prisons and slave. And we have
slave labor. I mean, it is.
It's not just in China slave labor. It's here.
Yeah but
as
in
well.
That in that story, it was the kid that comes across. Remember, he's got the gang ankle tattoo.
Yes.
And they, even though he's a sweet little kid, they're like, you're going to this private prison. There's no due process. You're there for a year so they can collect their money.
Right.
And you're lucky if you get out. You're just forgotten about, right?
Yes. There's a lot of corruption out there, Ferrison. Lots.
But that was a novel. I didn't know if
it
was real.
It's true. Okay. That part is true.
Let's talk cars.
Cars.
I'd hate for anybody to criticize me for being political.
Oh, they will. Don't worry. They'll criticize
they
you
always
for cars,
do.
Too.
They love to leave the reviews whenever there's something. They don't,
I can't wait.
As if I give a fuck.
Right. Well, there's also
but it's
that.
Funny.
Yeah,
it's funny.
No,
anyway.
They'll also criticize you for cars. Don't forget that. You're going to have the wrong opinion.
I don't care.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, everybody, I think most people listening to this understand this is our 1 hour of fun every week, that it's not really its own business. So.
And you know the most about modern cars. We're going to put you out there.
Well,
to
we're
going to
we're going to talk about one because Audi just gave me the 2021 Audi RS6 Avant, which I want to talk about. Front engine, all-wheel drive, five-passenger four-door wagon. Price as tested was $117,000. Twin turbocharged, intercooled V8, aluminum block heads, direct fuel injection, 591 horsepower, 590 foot-pounds of torque, 8-speed automatic. I was looking forward to driving this thing. 0 to 60, 3.1. 0 to 100, 7.8.
Yeah, it does like 11.2, I want to say, in the quarter.
Fuel economy combined, 17, city, 15, highway, 22.
It does not get good fuel economy.
Yeah, that's like, that quarter mile, Johnny, that's like a motorcycle.
No, I know. It's ridiculous. Well, the Panamera Turbo Sport Turismo, 11 flat. You know, I mean, it's
but let me give you my
fast station wagon.
Let me give you my driving impressions, and then we'll take it apart.
Okay.
I thought this was a perfect car.
Yeah.
And I say that because every time I got in it, in the short time I had it, but about a week, every kind of drive, I instantly felt at home in the seat behind the wheel. I put my phone down. The car just started talking to it. Everything was easy. It was in comfort mode. It was quiet. When I wanted some speed, it was there. When I was dropping kids off at Little League, I opened the back. When I was doing my Johnny Lieberman grocery run, it worked. It was one of those everything mobiles.
Yep.
And again, it's rare that I would, you know, I'm sure it has flaws, and I know you were commenting under it, and somebody else was saying, really? It's a perfect car? For me, it was. Yeah. For me, it was a perfect thing, and I was a little, you know, my neighbor, Stacy Schulman, had one, and he kept raving about it, but he also has a GT3 and a GT2 RS, and I'm going, I don't understand your need for this thing in addition to those two cars. Now I get it. This is a perfect dad sports car daily.
So wagons are the perfect car. They're the perfect solution. The only problem with the Audi RS6, the only problem it has is that the E63 wagon exists.
Right.
And
but E63- see, even there, I consider Mercedes to be a little more like jewelry, a little more luxe.
It's much more hardcore.
And so, I think Audi tilts a little more towards a guy. I feel more comfortable in there.
So first of all, it's an AMG.
I'm just saying, for me.
No. So here's the deal, kids. So the Mercedes actually makes a little bit more power. Not much, but a little bit more. And like if you look at that 3.3 to 60, the Mercedes does 3.2. If you look at the quarter mile, you know, it's a tenth faster here, blah, blah. The Mercedes is lighter. It's 200 pounds lighter. It's less front heavy than the Audi is. For most people, if you just do what you do with the car, it's going to feel perfect. The problem is, if you take them both on a road on the same day and chase each other, the Mercedes will leave it for dead. We were kind of shocked.
But that's not what that car is about.
No, it is. It's a 600 horsepower all-wheel drive performance wagon. It actually is all about that.
It is not. No, it's not how it's going to get used.
Well, but they're
pitching it that way. Who's chasing each other through Angeles Crest every day? We're using these cars.
In fact, I took the AMG, and my buddy had a GT3.
The AMG is a great car, but I think this comes down to a brand preference only. Like, the differences aren't that great that you would I can blow away my neighbor Stan.
Who the fuck cares? It's a station wagon.
Well,
first of all, in Texas, that's a huge deal. To blow away your neighbor
is the greatest thing. Nobody's buying Mercedes. Mercedes and Audis in Texas.
Oh, they are. Come on, Dallas and Houston are massive markets for
this.
Both
is
those.
Where you but are car geeking out
nope,
on
nope,
stuff
nope,
that
nope,
doesn't
nope,
matter,
nope,
Mr.
But
Lieberman.
I'm saying, if you look at what is the difference,
yes.
Right? The difference, well, first of all, the Mercedes can actually haul more. It's got a bigger rear end,
more
storage volume. But again, if you push them, if you drive the car the way they're intended to be driven, and again, it's RS. It's not the A6 Avant. It's the RS6.
But let me show you something. Watch.
RS is on your shirt.
SCRS. We're wearing. Yes.
Rennsport. The Mercedes is better, and the Porsche wagon is better.
For you, yes. For you, it's better.
No.
But I take a guy like Zuckerman, who's a Porsche guy, right?
Yeah.
And I go, Zuckerman, you can have either of these cars. Which do you pick?
Well, don't you want the one that drives better?
No, he's going to pick the Audi.
Because well, I don't know. I have to say something. I like this is a very nitpicky point, but I like the interior leather on the Benz better than the Audi.
Mm-hmm.
MB Tex is good.
Yes, I do. I don't like that strange patterning on the Audi RS6 Avant leather. That's a really minor point.
Is a point of view that I did not expect.
You didn't expect it.
But what about the way the cars look next to each other?
Audi is better looking.
Better looking, yeah, right?
It is. It is. Audi is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's
I'm just saying I would
really
pick
gorgeous.
The Audi every time. And I would agree with you that the E63 is a great car.
Yeah, we took them both on a racetrack, actually, which no one will ever do. That part, who's doing that? But, like, while the Mercedes was scraping its door handles, the Audi was scraping its mirrors. It was bad. Audi was shockingly incompetent.
Really?
Yeah.
On the racetrack.
The Porsche, the one.
You should see a Prius on the racetrack.
I've done that. Yeah.
I mean, it's pointless.
It's not good. But the other one, though, the Porsche Panamera Turbo S Sport Turismo. So that's the wagon.
Yeah.
641 horsepower. I think it's that much. First of all, it's a lot more money, but it just blows the Audi out of the water, and it's a little bit better than the AMG. The AMG, though, really, that 200 pounds lighter is a big deal. It does make them drive better.
Wow. There
and the Mercedes is the one that can actually go full rear-wheel drive. You can put it in drift mode, and it's awesome.
Now, the RS6 Avant was the car that Audi made and didn't bring to America
forever, right?
And that just made American dads and moms crazy. Correct?
No, it's the tiniest market segment there is.
What is that market segment?
It's a bunch of it's for full bore car geeks. Performance wagons are for geeks, which is it's great they're doing it. It's great. There's three of them now you can buy.
I've never felt so matched with a vehicle, not since I first sat in the GT2 RS have I felt such a match with my personality in that car.
Welcome to the wonderful world of performance wagons.
Yes,
they are the best type of car possible.
I have sat in the Mercedes and I didn't feel that.
You got to drive.
I felt like I was in my wife's car.
No, yeah, you got to drive the Mercedes. My wife had an Audi. I don't know, you're gendering this. Whether it is,
I am.
Her last car was an Audi wagon. You know, it's,
because for me personally, I feel there's a little bit of a feminine thing going on with Mercedes.
First of all, it's AMG, the most masculine brand possible.
I don't agree with that. No,
AMG?
It's kind of like jewelry a little bit.
AMG.
I like AMG.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm just saying
there's
a little
feminine.
We're talking image-wise.
What does AMG stand for? Can you tell us?
It's two guys' names. And then the G stands for manufacturing.
Tell me, what is the price point of the Benz as opposed to the Audi?
Identical. They're both 130 the way you want them. Yeah, they're the same price. The Mercedes or the Porsche is 180. Look, here's how masculine AMG is. They have a thing, one man, one engine. And then they have a problem where they hired some women to build the engine. And they hang on.
Oh, boy.
My friend Tobias is now the CEO of Aston, used to be the CEO of AMG. And he said, I said to them, we can change it to one person, one engine. And the women said, no, one man, one engine. So there's nothing more masculine.
I can tell you, that's a very good
Lieberman bit.
Your opinion doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
I'm telling you my personal choice.
Mercedes Benz maybe is.
No, I am saying something very clear, and I believe it to be true that Audi tilts more masculine than Mercedes.
Maybe Mercedes Benz.
I don't think
Mercedes AMG
in and of itself tilts is engendered in any way. I'm just saying Audi feels like a more masculine brand than Mercedes.
I disagree.
Plus,
most Mercedes.
I disagree with your disagreement.
Now I'm starting to get dizzy over here. All right. Okay. I'm going to give you guys an intelligence test. Zuckerman's intelligence test of the week. Okay. Okay. Lieberman, how many udders does a cow have?
One.
Harrison?
Six.
Okay. How many teats on each udder, Lieberman?
I have no idea. Four.
23.
Okay. Okay, Lieberman paid attention to cows as a child. A cow has one udder and four teats.
Yeah. Hey, I guess.
You guess.
Do you know that is my least favorite comedy word that you're saying right now?
Udder?
Teats or udders?
Teats.
Teats?
In every amateur comedy script, someone goes to that word.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too obvious.
It's horrible.
Like farts. Obvious.
Yeah,
farts is okay. I don't mind farts. Teats, I really mind.
Can we get back to Audis?
It's one of my pet peeves. No, let's leave the Audi. Anyway, I love that Audi. What have you been
driving? I really like the Audi a lot. I really do.
What are you up to, Johnny
Lieberman? Driving a purple Aston Martin.
SUV.
The DBX. It's good. It's really good. It's a great alternative. So, you know, Bentley used to occupy this position for, like, you know, gentlemen of a certain age. They're on their third Mercedes CL.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what am I going to buy? So it's like, I'll get the Continental. It's a little bit more money, but it's, a, you know, same thing. And so this is like, I'm on my third Porsche Cayenne Turbo. What else is there? Well, for $10,000 more, you can get an Aston Martin and AMG motor, AMG transmission, old Mercedes electronics. So it's pretty good. And then it's got, you know, like leather speaker grills and all the Aston Martin jewelry stuff. And it's also, I don't know if you can see it, but it's really good looking.
What do you think of the back end? It's a little
I
bit,
like it.
You do?
I like it. Well, first of all, if you look at all SUVs are terrible looking, right? Unless it's like a Jeep Wrangler, which looks like, you know, World War II machine or a Mars buggy. They all look the same. The Cayenne from the side looks like a Mazda. They just do. So they were like, how do we make it different? So they styled the tail that
let's
thing
paint
like
it
the Vantage.
Purple.
Well, the purple's cool, but
that's
but
one way. The purple's cool.
I love the purple. I
oh
love
my
it.
God!
They said you want silver or purple. I said, give me the purple. But
what do you like about that color? Really, over silver?
I hate
you don't
silver.
Think the purple yeah, I hate, is over? I'm not saying
we should take him to shop for a suit and huh? see what he gets.
You would get a purple suit with a yellow tie and a right, cane
I
and a top
do yellow. I wouldn't yeah. do yellow. But
ooh, here
no,
I go.
If you get the right purple, no. Here's the thing. Look,
here's the thing. You're wrong.
You are
purple's
wrong.
Great.
39% of new cars are white. 19% are
look,
black.
Look, I'm with you on black, 19, white, silver, gray. I get it.
19% are
I
silver, gray.
But not so, purple.
So that, that's what is that? That's 40, 60, 80. So wow. 20% of cars have some color and about like 0.000% are purple. So yeah, I love purple. You know, like,
and how has the internet
color.
Reacted to your purple car?
Oh, people love it. Actually, yeah. It's been weird. People really like it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've reacted very. I went off-roading yesterday.
In that?
No, I parked it. I didn't have the heart to do it.
Oh yeah, you were in something cool, right?
T-Rex. Yeah,
yeah,
my,
that
my
was
buddy
a cool.
Had a Nomad. We had a Ram. Jethro brought a Ram T-Rex, but the internet says that I was driving on a flat dirt road and I wasn't really off-roading. So I'm very.
I saw you going up a pretty nice incline
it was
in
insane.
That thing.
If anyone's ever been to Rower Flats, it's like it's very
you know, but it's you know, hard to shoot the
impossible.
It's impossible to shoot that angle, isn't
it's
it?
Impossible.
You've
yeah,
got to
yeah,
either
yeah.
get down and lay in the dirt,
even
or,
if you do that,
it's hard
it can't
to
be done.
Yeah, it's hard to see but, how dangerous that stuff is.
Yeah, I put
is,
up but, a video. So my friend Jonah brought his aerial Nomad, which is like
right.
know, it's a rear wheel drive rear engine buggy, and he. Somehow made it up. We have no idea how. But, like, I was trying to show this video, like, his thing's bouncing all over the place, and wheels are in the air, and the Ram just walked up like it was nothing because it's the most capable pickup truck ever made.
Right, so, right.
But, anyways, yeah, Aston's great. I really
What's
really
the price point,
the
sir?
Price point of the...
Aston, yes.
180 base, 210, the way that one's configured.
And the Lamborghini Urus.
I think starts at, like, 250.
Much
Is
different.
That, isn't that a superior truck?
It's a better drive. You know, here I'm going to say one thing. This showed up on All Seasons, and I said, hey, that's dumb. And it was like, yeah, it was supposed to be on summer tires. We got a flat. There wasn't a complete set laying around. So rather than delay your loan, it's on All Seasons. We want to give it back to you on summer tires. So it drives pretty good. I ran, not ran, but I got seven Porsches to pull over and let me go up to Angeles uh-huh, Press the other uh-huh. morning. So it's very, very capable, very quick.
Wow.
Urus drives better. Urus is 100 horsepower more. It costs more
this
money.
This is priced like the Maserati, right?
A little bit more. This is a kind
no,
of
turbo. What is their, what's their stupid SUV?
Trofeo. The
yeah, the
Trofeo.
Trofeo. That's 190, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Is it 190?
Yeah, yeah.
Start?
It's up there.
Yeah, this drives way better
stupid
than that.
SUV.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I look, it was. I don't like it. I got in it. I thought the interior looked cheap, and
it's a cheap interior, yeah.
I liked the way it turned. I enjoyed it on the track, but I just didn't know who was going to buy this at
no
that
one.
Number.
Yeah. Is anyone buying it, Johnny?
The non-Trofeo, yes. The
right.
Trofeo, no.
No.
But it's also not. No,
it
by
it can turn. It's a great turning truck on a track, but who's driving on a
truck?
Track?
If you do it back-to-back with a Cayenne, it's
I
like,
did it with the other Trofeos, and it yeah. was the best turning Trofeo I drove.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is a great truck. You know, again, if you need, for whatever reason, an Aston Martin SUV, and I think the reason you need it is you've leased enough Cayenne turbos that you're
right,
bored.
Right,
and what, you know, you could get a Bentayga, but they look like a plate of chopped ass.
You don't like the Bentayga?
I think it's the ugliest, one of the ugliest vehicles ever made.
I kind
of
like it.
Oh, it's shockingly
awful. I don't like that Rolls-Royce Cullinan. That's the one that really upsets me.
First of all, that's $400,000. Second of all, it's kind of dowdy.
How did they get that to look so bad?
I'm not sure. I'm friends with the guy who designed it, too, so I'm not sure. He's a good designer, and it's...
People love it who own them, but they offend as they drive.
They're terrific trucks, but then you got to, like... And there's about three angles where it's like, oh, it's pretty good. But then you like it's just
you
looks
see it
like
coming down the road and you go,
tired.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
that's
it's tired
awful.
And sleepy and dowdy. And I don't know. But Aston good. Aston good.
Not to get back to the Audi RS6 Avant, talk about a car the internet loves.
Oh, internet loves
You post a picture
car.
Of that thing and it goes bonkers on Instagram.
They are gorgeous. I mean, there's barely a single body panel shared with the regular A6 wagon.
Right. That counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got the huge flared fenders. Flared fenders.
I talked to your BMW guy, by the way. I'm going to do a run of BMWs that I'm excited about.
M2CS.
Oh, yes.
I'm
going to
start with the M8.
M8's with the four-door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good, too.
And then they said get me the M4 and the M3.
I have the
M2 is gone.
I drove the M3.
Did you like it?
I drove very briefly, and all I can say is on the M3 competition, it's the most inexplicable. I'm just – everyone's upset about the way it looks. Forget that. The seats, there is a carbon fiber thing where – Germans are all tall and skinny. They have skinny little legs, right? Jews, we have big fat legs. So this your thighs are touching this carbon fiber thing. It's so uncomfortable. I have no other opinion of the car.
Did you just say all Jews have fat legs?
No, I mean Zuckerman.
Yes.
Well, compared to Germans, yes.
No, you said Jews have fat legs.
Look at Paul. Come on.
You said Jews.
We're generally
have fat legs.
Short, stout, peasanty people.
Starkers. Starkers.
Starkers are fighters. Means fighters. And in our history, historically, we're used to being starved. So every calorie turns into blubber. We're only about the lean years. So, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Give us a comfortable fat
Happy
ass
Easter,
seat.
Everybody.
So,
Easter.
Isn't there a Jewish component to this Easter thing?
Yeah, let me
thing?
Tell you something. Jesus was bad for us. Ever since that guy came along, shit's
he
been
was
bad
Jewish.
For us.
Jesus.
Yes, that's right. And it's been all downhill for 2,000 years for us.
But I got to tell you something. It wasn't so good before him.
Yeah, and after it just got worse.
Can
it got
you imagine
worse.
Thousands of years later, why are these people relevant to us?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about them?
I still have no idea.
From thousands of years are we talking about?
You know what God really said to Moses? He said, the future's going to be more of the same, but worse. This is all that's going to happen to you people.
And there will be four-wheeled vehicles that you will enjoy.
And more of the same, but worse.
Yeah. Just to fuck you over.
But anyways, M3, I guess it's quick, but I just could not get over these seats. I was just, like, flabbergasted. But now that said, I drove it for 3 minutes. I'm getting one for a week next Wednesday. So
there you go.
When this show is live, I'll be in an M3.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, not long ago, in fact, about 2 days ago, I spoke to one Fireball. Remember Fireball
yes,
Zuckerman?
The man we maligned who actually turned out to be a decent guy.
Fireball, when we were having the pandemic cards and coffee, which we're still having every week around 10 o'clock at Bill's in the Malibu Kitchen, the Country Mart, so don't ask me online. At one point, it got so big, Fireball, we saw they hired security to shut it down. There was a pimply-faced kid with a flashlight, and we saw this guy, Fireball, and Matt Farah said, Fireball is trying to shut down the cars and coffee because he's jealous.
Farah.
Whether he said that or not, I'm just going to attribute that to Matt Farah.
Poor Matt.
And,
poor Matt.
You know, not like Fireball turns out to be this Malibu fixture who has his own cars and coffee. And not long after, I introduced myself because I saw him there. And he said, you know, your fans were threatening to kill me. And I said, God, I'm really sorry. And I had a nice conversation with him. We invited him on the podcast. Turns out to be a great guy. He said, I wasn't trying to shut it down. I felt bad for the kid. I was just helping him with one car. So Farah has it completely wrong.
Farah.
And, you know, we had him as a guest on the podcast. And then he said, I am also, aside from designing cars for movies, I make coloring books for kids. Would you like to do a Spike First and coloring book? And I said, sure. Why not? Why don't I, you know, this is the best thing I can do to make up the trouble I caused you. It turned out to be a lot of fun. I got to pick 20 of my favorite things with wheels. They're in the new coloring book, which is on Amazon right now. And Fireball came on, or is coming on right now, to tell us about the coloring book, his website, fireballtim.com or fireball.com. He's doing a Magnus Walker coloring book now.
And soon there will be a Zuckerman Policy Genius coloring book.
I tried to put it a horrible picture of that. We did talk about that in this interview, Zuckerman. So here, listen in to Fireball and me from a few days ago.
It's a beautiful day over here. Where are you, in Malibu?
Yeah. We get a little fog, but today's my birthday, and my wife blew the fog away, so we got sun now,
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, man.
It's unbelievable. How far have you made it into life?
All I know is that I'm old enough to know better and not old enough to care. So one or the other.
You really don't want to say?
No. According to my, I didn't pay attention to math class, but I'm pretty sure I'm 56 right now. So
you are.
Yeah.
Look at that. We're the same age.
How nice. How 65.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fireball Spike Ferriston.
That's
Fireball
right.
Fireball Tim Lawrence. And here we are chit-chatting about the new official Spike Ferriston coloring book.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. This is really exciting for me. You know, it started, of course, the legendary Fireball story on Spike's Car Radio, where we thought you, Fireball, this person I didn't know, was trying to shut down the cars and coffee.
What an a-hole. Oh, man.
What it turns out is you were trying to help a young security guard do his job like a good citizen. And by the way, since then, the health department has shut down our cars and coffee. Yes,
Why the health department? Wow.
Yeah. That's what they say. But really what I think is going on is they don't like the car people. And if I know if I were to go down there today, Saturday, it would be a disaster of people. Lobsters, laying on top of each other.
Sure.
And then they have Leno and Matt Farah and me and Lieberman and the gang down there, and they don't want that anymore.
It's no different than, on any Saturday or Sunday. It gets full down there. It's just all the cars are not as cool as what we bring.
This is discrimination. Yeah, pure and simple. Right. And what they're doing is they're lumping everybody together. So the Spike's Car Radio audience, the Lamborghini guys, the Malibu Audubon guys, the different rallying groups that are getting in trouble, we're all the same. There's no diversity. We're all bad.
Yeah, bad. But
I guess if they want us to be bad, Fireball, we could be bad, couldn't we?
It's kind of like I think they've changed the laws in Malibu, too, or they're trying to about the Airbnbs and, how annoying they are. And I don't know. I did my best, but... hey, the game ain't over, man. It's not over.
You still host a Cars and Coffee, right?
Yeah, it's actually tomorrow morning.
And where's that?
At the Murphy Auto Museum. So we have a museum up in Oxnard at 1930 Eastman. We do it twice a month, first and third Sundays of the month, and 8 to 10. We get celebrities joining us, and we get an amazing cars. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, after I sicked the audience on you, we had you on the show and you explained yourself. And again, I apologize for that. And, we suddenly big fans everywhere. All the listeners love Fireball. We love Fireball. We learned about your history designing vehicles for over 400 of Hollywood's biggest films. Batman, Knight Rider, Jurassic Park, Monster Garage. Artemis Fowl, don't know.
Don't mention Starsky and Hutch because I was 11 years old. Gets mentioned a lot, and that and Dukes of Hazzard. I watched the shows. I had nothing to do with those, but somehow they get lumped in. But I've had a great career. I've been very excited, and now I get to apply that kind of thematics into the coloring books, which is really exciting for me.
And that is where we're going. You called me up shortly after you were on the podcast. Said, "How'd you like to do a coloring book?" And I said, at first I didn't get it. I'll be honest, Fireball. I was like, why would I do that? But then I thought back to when my kids were young and how much they love to color. And then I thought, there's no coloring books that would have the things that I love in them. That I've never, I've never seen a coloring book. And I went to your website and I saw all the cool stuff that you were up to. But then even looking at that, I thought there's a little pocket of coloring book that we could do that'll be really amazing.
Oh yeah,
and never done before.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And so I called you up and I said, let's do it. This will be fun. And you said this is going to be easy. We're gonna. I have a friend who's going to be doing a Spike First and crossword puzzle. I said okay, and I put together.
And what did your kids say? What did your kids say when you told them that you were going to do a coloring book?
I think. Oh, they were like. I think they said, "Why is someone doing a coloring book about you?" What?
Genius. You know you've elevated yourself when the kids ask that question.
Yeah, they have no idea why this is happening. And my wife was like, what? You know.
But you know what? Because you actually haven't seen the finished book yet.
No, I'm excited to see it.
Which is very exciting because, I mean, I expected to get the cars that you recommended, you know, the Porsches and the Ferraris and all the great stuff. But then you threw in something I didn't expect with the bikes, one especially. I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
But you got to get the book because it absolutely came out killer. It's really cool.
That was great. The motorcycles. Each one of these cars represents, and vehicles and things with wheels, represents a moment in my life that I remember fondly.
Right.
Does that make sense? Even the new one. You know, I threw in the Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport just because I just drove it a couple weeks ago and I loved it. And I thought, I tried to do something for everyone. But I think if you're a dad who likes cool things and you have kids and you want to kind of start molding them in your vision, this Fireball coloring book that we put together is really going to make you laugh and blow your mind. They'll be coloring things you never thought they would be colored.
Absolutely. And I have to say thank you to you because in a way I get to draw things that I wouldn't normally ever choose to draw. You know, there was a lot of really great classic stuff. I mean, I love drawing anything with four wheels but doing these types of books, it's unexpected. So, you know, I did a book with Gary Wales with a lot of really interesting people that have collections, Gene Winfield, a lot of customizers and stuff. And it's really neat to see what people's personal picks are and the stories. And that's, you know, it'd be great to hear some of the stories that you have about each one of these cars and why you chose them, what your experience was with them.
Well, I don't know. It sounded like you didn't want me to get into which cars are in the book.
No. You can talk about any one of it. I just thought the bike was kind of cool. You can mention it if you want. You know?
Well, the bike it was meaningful to me. It's a Schwinn Orange Crate.
Yeah, it's killer.
Because it was, you know, again, and the Hodaka Combat Wombat. Yeah. Both came from my favorite uncle, Uncle Timmy. First, he said, you know, I can tell your dad is never going to give you anything cool. Here's my bike, a Schwinn Orange Crate. With the little gear shift on top, the small wheel on the front, the chopper. A mind blower for a kid, right?
Right, and everybody wanted that bike.
Yeah.
You know, you were the guy.
Yep. They were very valuable now. You know, I've been trying to kind of buy my childhood back by getting – and it was like, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 if you want to get one.
Yeah, and sell a Porsche and then you can get one.
Yeah. Then there's the Hodaka Combat Wombat, which, as the audience knows, I got at 12 years old by same Uncle Timmy. Uncle Tim Ferriston, the coolest uncle there is. So, you know, I wanted to put those things in the book because they, you know, I think about those moments fondly in my life. And, you know, when I see those things on the internet or I see an orange crate that someone's selling, it makes me happy. So, you know, it's stuff like that in the book. I think we also put, if I'm not mistaken, the Honda 79 Honda Accord.
That's right. That's the last page.
My mom's car that I convinced my parents to get from their friend, Mr. Kelleher, who was selling it, and that I lost my virginity in.
Great.
In the back of that hatch.
You know, I mean, up until this moment, I think I was enjoying all the stories, but that one is going to stick
now. Kids are
going
to love that. Dad's hoodie showing it on this great page, this car right here.
Yep.
Well, that's where Spike Ferriston lost his virginity.
That's going to affect how they color it from now on. So that's going to be interesting.
You can, it's red velour inside and then with a few, never mind.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, I asked you, I said, you know, we need one more car. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to send some kind of great exotic. Because no, you sent this Honda in, which is like.
I sent that and I sent the 68 Cougar XR7.
Yeah. Killer.
That makes
it. Yeah. Great car.
Now, that was the first car I bought when I moved to LA for a few thousand dollars. I wanted a convertible. So I got that car with a convertible top, but it had no canvas on it. It just had the ribs. And I was so happy. And again, it was just a happy time in my life when I, you know, just driving, because I was living in New York for so long. Just getting in that car, putting the top down, up or down, didn't matter, by the way. Right. It didn't have the top. I could not have been happier just cruising Sunset Boulevard back and forth in that car.
So and honestly, that's why we go to these shows. You know, I mean, you get to share those stories, and, mm-hmm. and everyone's got them. And, you know, the ability to do a book like this, to share that. And I think the best thing about for us to be doing coloring books is the ability to create the art, but then someone colors it in and it becomes art. You know, it's no longer mine. It's something that they can share. You know, it's for your fans get to experience the stories and your history and a lot of things in a way that's unique. And, you know, I'm grateful to be able to do that.
Yeah. There's no, I was going to do a foul picture of Zuckerman in there, but we decided not to do that. I thought the kids wouldn't understand.
That will be book two.
Don't do a book with him. It'll be horrifying. Right. The Zuckerman coloring book will be for 18 or over.
Right, right.
And we are 17 coloring. Right. Do adults color?
In fact, the majority of people that buy the books are adults.
Really?
You know, because of, you know, they're the ones that associate themselves with the history. You know, to do a book about classic Camaros and things like that, kids don't necessarily understand the difference in years, but you know, we're the ones with all the memories. So in a way, they would buy one or two and then share them with their grandkids. So you know, and it achieves the same kind of thing. So we're doing a book with Magnus Walker in a couple of months.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And I'm meeting with him next week, and he's doing graphics and trying to create his unique stuff that will be specific to the book. So there's a lot of neat things happening.
You should do, instead of a crossword, do a seek and find with things you can find in his beard.
I will propose that to him.
Why, look, there's some old pennies.
Yeah,
and a,
right.
And a piece of gum.
Uh-huh, yeah. We probably would find a few cars, though, in there, I'm sure.
And a little,
Hot Wheels.
There's a little living thing of some kind in there. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, and they're all dated as to you know when they happened. Right, exactly.
Well, that's exciting, Tim. Well, this is a lot of fun. Where can everyone buy this coloring book? It's on Amazon, which makes
it's
it
on,
easy.
Right. So you can go on Amazon. You can type in Spike Ferriston coloring book. You can type in Fireball coloring books. We have, I think this is our 43rd book. So you're right in there. And probably just type in your name and you'd get it. And then the second version, which we're going to be getting up towards the end of this month, is we're going to do signed copies.
Okay.
And those will be available on our Etsy store, which is the Fireball store on Etsy. And those will be available in limited quantities there.
I've been getting requests for that. So at some point, I'll see you in Malibu. We'll sign some books.
You bet. That'll be great.
Maybe when the police stop arresting everybody that shows up to get coffee on Sunday.
You know, we'll have a couple books.
Yeah, we'll have a book signing out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the cops love us, but they're, you know, they're sent out there to harass and... I guess they're doing their job.
For the time being. But you know what? They shut the place down up until 11 o'clock, and then everyone just kind of started showing up at 11.
Yeah, so, we show up at 10 now. They actually open it up at 10, but they can't do it forever. It's ridiculous. Anyway, this has been great, Tim. I've really enjoyed the process. I want to just thank you for inviting me to do this.
My pleasure.
I'm as excited as hell about this book. You're a very, very, very talented guy.
I appreciate that.
The way you were drawing one a day and sending them to me and putting them together, I was fascinated by it.
Well, I'll leave you with this one thought, and that's simply that the other day was my granddaughter's birthday. She turned 3, and so our birthdays are very similar. We went over to my son's to have a big party, and all she wanted to do, she didn't want to open her gift, she didn't want to eat cake. All she wanted to do was watch her favorite movie, and that was the Bee Movie.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, she loves it.
She's the third person that's liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it, actually. So I think
now it's 3. It was my mom, it was Jerry's mom, and now your granddaughter. Anyway, you go to fireballtim.com, fireballtim.com, to check out the Spike Ferriston coloring book and everything else he's selling, including Dennis Gage's Orphan Oddballs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've done some... the Tony Dow. Look at that. The official Tony Dow coloring book.
That one's great. That's sweet. Really cool because that tells his whole story also. His wife and he wrote their story to each page. So it's pretty neat. Wow. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. Anyway, yeah, cool. Fireball, I'll see you out in Malibu, my friend.
Okay. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
And there it is. What do you think? You learned a lot about Fireball in that conversation.
That was terrific.
I do think, though, it's a, you know, that's a coloring book for children. I think the coloring book, the Zuckerman book for adults is what is needed.
Well, if you were listening, he said more adults than kids color and buy these books.
But I'm saying, but like theme it for adults.
I was pitching the Zuckerman coloring book.
Zuckerman coloring book.
The first shot is him on
the mozzarella truck.
No, the first shot of him is on the edge of a tub naked, just sitting with his legs open like that.
Like my favorite guy. Yeah,
with
like
his black socks on. Yeah. That's the first shot. Breakfast. The second shot is him fighting a kid in traffic.
That's happened.
Punching someone through the window. who cut him off.
Of course.
The third shot is him doing 200 miles an hour in a GT3 RS on Sunset Boulevard, weaving in and out of traffic. The second shot is him, you know, coming upon a car accident, and there's a dead body, and him just pointing at it, like,
terrific.
But then, like, the thought bubble is just the new GT3.
Hey, summer house, it says in the thought bubble. I've got to get my summer house. That would be quite a coloring book, Zuckerman. I'm sure he
Paradise
would do that.
Cove.
But we'd have to push him, because they pushed back a little bit in my coloring book when I said I want to put the Hadaka Combat Wombat in it, and I want to put a Schwinn Orange Crate Stingray Bicycle. Two very important.
How's the pushback? Why?
Because there's nothing to color in them. They're just small tubes.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. So.
Well, there's plenty to color in
kept
Paul's
it.
Book.
What?
So. We'll have plenty to color.
I kept it in there. And thank you, Fireball, for doing that. It's been a lot
great
of fun
guy.
Doing it. And go to Amazon.com and just Google Spike's Car Radio or Spike Ferriston Coloring Book, and it comes right up. You can get yours. And we're also going to be putting them in stores around Malibu and doing autographed ones on Etsy. So.
It's a great Easter stocking
stuffer. Now I'm hungry.
There you go. And that's our show, guys. That's all I have, unless you guys have anything else.
No, I want food. It's time to go.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, happy Easter to all of you.
Yeah,
happy
Easter,
Wednesday
Easter.
To all of you. Get your vaccinations and see you at the car events this summer, guys.
Goodbye for now.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.